Hey guys, I've recorded this intro like probably 8 times because every time I listen to it over again, I feel like I sound super salesy. But I'm just going to do it. So I'm not selling anything. I just want to give you guys some free ground marketing tactics, some strategies, and the best marketing information, along with some deals from our sponsors and more weekly. So if you are interested, guys, go in the show notes below and join my email list. In my email list, you get free stuff. You'll get ground marketing content tailored to you and with no extra fluff. So if you are interested, then go in the show notes below and just join my email list. And don't worry, I won't spam you. All right, guys, let's get into the episode. Ivan, man, how's it going today?
Hey, it's going great. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
No, man, I appreciate you. Really quick, can you tell us, before we get into like your, you know, your goals, your past, present, and future right now, really quick, I want you to let us know or tell us, how many followers do you have on Instagram?
How many followers? I have 13,200 and something.
Okay.
And growing, hopefully.
Yeah, because all we see is the 13K. So we're like, oh, man, he has 13K. That's nice, right? So that's good, man. Like, so you obviously strategically have grown that, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yep, very strategic about it. I don't know that, like, my overall, like, number of followers is, like, the relevant metric. I feel like Instagram is basically split into two platforms, like stories and then posts.
Oh.
And stories is the one that's, like, the winner, I think. So I'm really trying to focus on that and actually measure my story views as like a more relevant like indicator of how I'm doing.
Got you. That's interesting, man. Okay, so we'll get into that right now in a bit. But first, sure. Tell us a little bit about like what you've been up to lately. Tell us a little bit about your past, present, and future, and how you got to where you are today.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm a prosthodontist. I finished my prostho residency in Michigan. And I came back to California ready to work. But when my daughter was born, she was born with some medical conditions that really like it meant that I had to go to the emergency room like a lot. And like even like in the middle of the day while I was working in clinic. Mm-hmm. And so it was really hard to keep a steady work schedule. That was a real big pain. And so my priority number one is my daughter, obviously. And so what I did was I tried to batch my work, and I tried to find like I tried to find ways to get the highest paying work that I could.
Yeah.
And as my dad, and I remember one time my dad asked me, Ivan, how come you always try to avoid working? And so I'm looking for ways to like maximize my time, you know, like allocate my time really efficiently that it's like makes me happy and it brings in revenue. So I'm hustling super hard.
Yeah.
I started my own clinic. I've had it for about 3 years now, and at the same time, I'm building out my passion. It's Implant Ninja Online, and mm-hmm. that's like a series of online, like really quality online courses around implant dentistry.
Okay, awesome, man. So then you started your practice. When did you start that? Implant Ninja Dental
Center.
So
it was crazy. Yeah, so my parents are both dentists, and they have a facility here in my hometown, or my, you know, where we live.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did while I was in my dental residency, I built my website for my practice before I even graduated, before I even had a practice.
Nice,
and
man.
And so I built that about a year before graduation, so I let that kind of sit there and let Google, you know, rank it higher because I made it super content rich, but not like in a spammy way. You have to be really tactful about like what kind of content you put on and how to help that with your search engine optimization.
Mm-hmm.
So I let that sit there for a year because I knew it takes a really long time to climb in Google rank.
Mm-hmm.
And so before I even graduated, I was already getting phone calls. So I got a Google Voice number.
Yeah.
And I put that on my website. And so I was already getting phone calls for full mouth rehabilitation before
what?
I graduated.
Nice, man. That's good.
So, like, I'm about like the $100 startup mentality. So, like, what that means is basically cash flow.
Yeah.
Instead of like taking out $1 million loan for my business and like freaking overextending myself and tanking, I would rather have a positive cash flow and use that cash flow to grow my business. And so, you know, full mouth rehab is like $20K to $40K, and so I was able to take that and then like hire an assistant, you know, hire a front office or whatnot.
Yeah. So then, rewind a little bit. Really tactful. You were really tactful with your content and your website. Can you kind of like jump into that a little bit more? Like, what did you do?
Sure. So I think it's only really important to have a niche. Mm-hmm. And my niche was All in Four. Okay. That was something that I thought was super interesting ever since I did a couple cases in dental school. Like, I didn't do the surgery for them, but I did like the restorative, and like I wanted that to be my niche. And so I researched it really heavily. I made a free download for patients, mm-hmm. like an ebook. It was like, I don't know, like 50 pages or something. I don't know.
What was the ebook like titled?
I think Patient's Guide to Implant Dentures, or like All in Four, something like that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, I think it was Implant Dentures.
Okay.
Because like it's so confusing for patients, and like all the stuff online is just marketing. Nobody likes marketing, right? So I made something that's basically marketing free, like no branding on it really, and just like really succinct information about implant dentures, and I made that freely available on the homepage of my site. And you know, people who are gonna spend $20,000 on their teeth usually research pretty well, and if they find something that is you know, like a really useful ebook, they associate that with like credibility with you. So mm-hmm. I think that was like an easy way that I got some patients, like a lot of patients actually.
So then when you, were you made the website when you were still in dental school, so you were already doing like All in Fours or like full mouth rehabs before dental school? I mean, before you graduated?
Yeah, so I went to dental school, and that was 3 years at UOP in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I graduated dental school, I went to a three-year residency for prosthodontics, it's called. So prosthodontics was three-year residency, and then my second year, I made my website. So in prosthodontics residency, you're basically like exclusively doing full mouth stuff.
Oh, wow, prosthodontics.
And so I was already like having those cases. I stumbled across the book called New Rules of Marketing and PR by David Meerman Scott.
Mm-hmm.
I stumbled across that when I was in my residency, and I took it to heart. And I think that's really what I can attribute the success of my practice like in those early stages to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't apply the same principles now because I think it's a little like times have changed a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but that's really what helped me with my practice site.
What were some of the principles that you had to put into work or practice?
I think the, you mean from the book?
Mm-hmm, yeah, from the book.
I think volume of content, a volume of useful content, and basically not marketing, so not interrupting anybody,
mm-hmm.
saying like, hey, I'm here, come buy my stuff, not interrupting anybody, but making something useful and putting it out there and making it SEO optimized. SEO,
yeah.
That so that they'll find it. And so, like, I'll give you an example. I think maybe a year or a year and a half ago, I made a blog post titled, "Oh crap, I perforated the sinus floor." Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And like, one of my friends messaged me. He said, "Hey, I just perforated the sinus floor. I searched on Google, and yours is the first blog post that came up." This is the first thing that came up. So it took me like a year and a half to get there, but that's exactly what I wanted. So I want when somebody searches for something to like find me, and like there's no sales stuff involved. But I mean, ultimately, that's like a really good marketing strategy. So that's what I picked up from that book. Just make really useful stuff and put it out there, like at scale, like put as much as you can, and then just let yourself be found.
Got you, man. I like that. I like that a lot. So then actually, really quick before we jump into your practice, you kind of need patience in this game, right? Or would you say nowadays it's different? Now, like, you can fast forward. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you know how some people like start a practice and they're like, holy crap, I need cash flow yesterday, and I need a SEO. SEO's not working for like let's just say you signed up for SEO and then it doesn't work for like the past 3 days. You're like, this is not working. Next marketing thing. Like, what do you suggest for people who think like that, or someone kind of in that mindset? What do you think?
That's tough. Yeah, trying to do stuff fast is hard. Like, what I want to say is, like, expecting results fast is always disheartening. Like, I think you always got to be, like, you can't be in a rush. Like, you can't be so overextended that you need money right now. That's like a losing game, like, all the time, I think, because you'll make poor decisions and you will come off as a spammer, I think.
Yeah.
So what I would suggest to somebody who's in, you know, who wants patience now, what I would suggest is two things. On the one hand, you need to block off time, like block off. I know it's everyone's busy, but block off literally like 4 hours of your day and decide what procedure do I want to promote in my practice? Like, what will bring value to your practice if you get like that type of procedure into your office? Like, if you're doing that, which one do I want to focus on? And it's okay, you don't have to be tied to it forever, but which one do I want to focus on right now?
Mm-hmm.
And try to create some really useful content around that. Like, it could be a series of pictures. If you don't have pictures, I guess just Google image pictures. Use the ones that don't have, like, the, you know, the restrictions on them. And write a little guide for patients, because, like, right now, if they're Googling that procedure, all they're seeing is spam. So what you want to come across is the person who makes it easy to understand for them, and then they'll go to you, I think. So one, make that content, and then two, after you've made that content, hire a company that can help you, or hire a person that can help you advertise and help you with, like, SEO. And, like, the thing is, you're never going to find a perfect company right away or a perfect person, mm-hmm. but the fact that you've allocated money to it at first will make sure that you're, like, always on top of it. And if it's not working, you're going to switch to another one and another one. And eventually you're going to get the flow down. That's just how you figure it out.
Got you. All right, man. I like that. Okay, so let's jump into your business right now and into your practice, Implant Ninja Dental Center. So right now, was it an acquisition? Was it a build out? If it was, how much was it? There are tons of reasons a patient will choose one dentist over another. Maybe it's insurance compatibility, maybe it's location, maybe they just heard good things from their friends. That all makes sense. What might seem a little baffling is that many, many patients list convenience as the number one factor in choosing a dentist. See, you know why your crown work is better than the other guys. You know what separates a pretty good job from a work of art. But most patients don't. They assume, by default, that you're a good dentist. Most patients just want to be sure their teeth are going to stay pretty, painless, and firmly attached to their gums. And since they think any good dentist can make sure of that, they'll pick the practice that's most convenient. It might not be fair to you, but that's how it goes. So how can you make your practice as convenient to your patients as possible? Make your scheduling process as easy as getting an Uber or shopping on Amazon. That means they can get a fully booked appointment, something that goes straight into your schedule just like your front desk put it there, just with a few taps on their phone. That's what LocalMed can do. LocalMed is dentistry's first and only real online scheduling platform because their technology integrates directly with your practice management software. That means patients can see available appointments in real time and book them directly into your schedule, and it's easy as booking a flight. Patients see an appointment time that they want, they click it, and they get it done. No phone tag necessary, and no double booking problems. Best of all, you always stay in control, so patients can only book during times that you mark as available. They can't get an appointment if you don't want them to have one. They can even fill out insurance forms as they schedule, streamlining the process for everyone. Hundreds of dentists have already tried it and love it, especially because the average LocalMed client gets a 40-to-1 return on their investment. That's not too good to be true, guys. That's the way online scheduling should be. In fact, nothing else is really online scheduling. Try it for yourself today by visiting localmed.com or go in the show notes below, click on the LocalMed logo or the link and tell them I sent you, Michael, and get 10% off your setup fee today.
Alrighty, so it's from scratch, totally from scratch. Remember, I started my practice when I was in my residency, and what it was is the first patient accepted, great, I'll see a patient. And remember, I already had a facility because I was renting from my parents, basically.
Okay.
So there's a lot of people that are willing to let you rent from rent space from them, right? I mean, mm-hmm. if I didn't have my parents, I could find somebody else and I'll rent their chair, I don't know, $1,500 a month or something if I'm only using it like a day or two a week.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that first patient came in, say that's $20,000. Then I kind of use that to maybe extend the hours of my staff or find a staff.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully my next patient comes in, and then like I'll, I don't know, put some money at advertising or put some money at doing like a dinner for dentists. Or so it was from scratch, one patient at a time, and then it just kind of like snowballed a little bit to something that's stable. But no, definitely didn't there's no acquisition, no startup loan, nothing like that. I think the environment for a new dentist or a recently graduated dentist is such that they're already like underwater, like $500K or more from mm-hmm. dental school. And so it makes us really risk averse. And I just don't think that it might not be a wise decision to take another $500K practice loan and try to, you know, win in the long run. I feel like that's a recipe for burnout. So that's not that's why I didn't do that.
So really quick, you never, so right now your practice, it's your own practice or is it your parents still, or like, or do y'all share? I'm sorry.
Oh yeah. So there's some, like, I guess there's two entities, right? There's the location and we both use the same location, but we have, you know, separate staff, separate billing, separate collections, separate, everything else is separate. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I did for a time, I actually did move out of my parents' facility. I set up a new facility from scratch. And then I realized that's not what I want to do, and so I moved back.
Got you.
And I still don't take loans for that.
I know, yeah, that's okay. So you've never done a startup loan. This whole time, you've kind of just... So this is... Let me get this straight. Your thought process was, okay, I'm already making noise, right, in this space. Let me start taking on patients. Let me just go rent some chairs out, right? Or let me go rent a place out. You rented a place out, and you hired... staff immediately, or how far out did you hire somebody?
Yeah, so the first thing, I had to hire an assistant, right? There's a guy that was working for my parents. He could use a couple extra hours, so I picked him up for like 2 half days, right? Because at mm-hmm. first, you don't have enough for them to do. And so that's really hard, right? So I just had him for like 2 half days. Hey, can I borrow your assistant? I'll pay him. And so I just paid him a little bit more than my parents did. And so he was happy. And so, yeah, basically he just helped me with my patients, and I had my wife help me with front office, and she's fantastic. So she really helped with patient loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, then just as we got more patients, I started to, you know, need my staff for more hours, and then I needed more staff.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just let it build. No practice loan, none of that.
Okay.
None of that stuff.
So then you hired your assistant, and then from that point on, you kind of continued to bring in more people, right? I mean, more patients. And
yep.
then eventually you made yep. enough to where, like, hey, I can obviously do my own practice now, right? You don't need no loan, none of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if you did get
exactly.
a loan, you'd still be able to pay it off with a lot more ease of mind, right? Because you have some mm-hmm. something saved up. And another question. So you did... the startup loan, I mean, you didn't do a startup loan. You hired an assistant. When did you start paying yourself?
Oh, from day one, man. Like, yeah, like I said, cash flow is king, right?
Yeah.
Like, say the first patient came in. So $20,000 came in the door. I paid myself minimally for my work, like however many days I work. Might have paid myself like $500 a day or something.
Okay.
And paid my staff and... yeah, I just let the rent sit in the bank, and maybe like only when I need something, I would go and I would spend it. I wouldn't never like go out looking to spend a lot to grow my business.
How much would you spend? How much are you spending like normally at the beginning and compared to now? Like, what's the difference?
Like my overhead?
No. I'm talking about for marketing.
Oh, okay. So honestly, I don't market my practice right now.
Okay. But
yeah,
at the beginning.
At the beginning. All right, so I tried a number of things. I tried. Oh, sorry. Give me one second, Michael.
Yeah,
my daughter just came in. Let me get a kiss. Go. Bye. Okay, bye, honey. Bye. Good. Mm-hmm. See you later. Love you. Okay, hug and kiss. Okay. Sorry about that. She's gonna take her nap.
Okay, no worries, no worries. Uh huh.
All right. So yeah. So. All right. So in the beginning, I just basically did it by organic. So I tried publishing as much as I could and just get it out there organically because I didn't have money to spend on it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I would say about 6 months or so into that, I decided, okay, let's ramp it up. Let's spend some money on it. So I started to get Google keyword.
Mm-hmm.
Ads, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's so expensive. My gosh. I was paying, I don't know, I was paying anywhere from $2,000 to $4,000 a month.
Dang.
On just the AdWords.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I would get a lot of patients, but like half of them were like maybe like 70% weren't serious. And wow. It was just like causing like, you know, cancellations and whatnot. So, the thing that's different about my practice that might be, well, it might be different from a lot of your audience is that I am I'm a specialty practice,
mm-hmm.
and so I really focus on like a narrow field of things that I do, and so what has worked like the very 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 best for me in terms of ROI and bringing in patients is letters. So it's ridiculous, right? It's like so outdated,
mm-hmm.
but whenever I send out letters to dentists, I'll like the next month I'll get like 10 patients. And each patient might accept on average of 7,000, 8,000 to, I don't know, to even like $40,000 or $50,000 of treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ROI is like, is ridiculous for letters for me.
What do you put in the letters? Like, what do you say?
Yeah. So most of the letters that people get, I think that they're like spam, right? So
yeah.
It's important to like establish yourself as not a spammer. So I make it super personal about me, like, hey guys, you know, I, as you guys may have known, I just started my practice six months ago. I moved from Michigan with my wife and my family. I include a picture of my wife and my daughter, and I say, I hope everything's going well for you. This, and I just include something that I'm currently doing. I don't know, like I'm going to ADA this month or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I also say at the end, hey, this is a patient. This is a picture of a patient that Dr. So and So sent me. Here's how it turned out. And then when they read that letter, they're like, oh, you know, nice looking family. Oh, I know Dr. So and So, and he sends his patients to him. That's great. So it's kind of like, you know, social proof that somebody's mm-hmm. sending me patients. And so I feel like they're. It's kind of like social media. They're like following me, you know, via these letters.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully I'm just top of mind, you know, when somebody needs implants.
How often do you send them letters?
I try to do that like every other month.
Every other month. Okay.
Yeah. I've only done it three times so far, but like I've only done it three times and each time it's just like, I'm so impressed. I'm just like blown away by how well it works.
And then let's just say like, I'm a, like, let's put it, for example, I'm listening to this episode and I'm a general practice, like I do, you know, fillings, veneers, and then I want to do bigger mm-hmm. cases, right? Because obviously bigger cases pay mm-hmm. more and you can take more time off. So what if I send these letters to other general dentists saying like, hey, you know what I mean, I'll be happy to do your implants or whatever, but then in reality I also do everything else, you know what I mean? Would you recommend mm-hmm. sending letters
yeah.
still that way, or would you be like, nah, probably not? What's
for sure, for sure. So I think there's like, there might be a little bit of a misperception. Mm-hmm. I think that, all right, so a general dentist, like in general, I suppose, does everything and might feel like, oh, why do I want to send to this guy?
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to do it. All right. But I think you have to think of it more in terms of like on a personal level. Let's say like a 55-year-old dentist who is very productive. He kind of knows what he's doing. He doesn't want to work more. He wants to take a couple days off of work and he's got a good flow. He's not trying to mix things up. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Say you send him a letter about your veneers, like, hey guys, what's up? Or hey, what's up? I do these veneers. The case turned out nice. I hope you're doing well. And you sign it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he might not be inclined to say, hey, I'm going to jump into these veneers, you know, because, a 55-year-old dentist has already been through it. They've already tried something new and, like, had something not work out well. So So I feel like they know what they're good at and they know what they're not good at. Mm-hmm. And they might lack, you know, having a connection in the community and say, hey, this guy's doing vendors, he's doing a good job, I'll send him to him. I don't think dentists are as greedy as, you know, as I think dentists are greedy. I think they just want a peaceful life, and they want predictable treatments for their patients, and yeah, letters are a perfect way to kind of put that in front of them.
Okay, awesome, man. I like that. I like that a lot. It's completely different, right? Like sending letters. Do you think, and this is just me like kind of spitballing it, but do you think this could also work for like other businesses? You know what I mean? Like maybe you see like a mom and pop shop down the street, right? And you kind of like want to write them a letter. Huh. Because I think that's super strong to like send a picture of your family to them and be like, hey, look, we're new in the neighborhood, or we're here in the neighborhood. Or even if you've been there for a couple years, like, hey, look, what I noticed you guys, you tried your coffee or whatever, and I love it, right? This is, you're onto something here, Ivan. You're onto something, man.
I think that like personal touch and like brand loyalty are so overlooked in like every business. And that's basically what I'm trying to build my online business around. Well, obviously quality content first, but really personal touch and brand loyalty, just because it's so different. I feel like people feel like others don't give a shit anymore these days.
Yeah.
Like the businesses that you buy from. It'd be nice. You know, I got a letter from my supplier saying, hey, you know, we care about you, but I don't. but I'm not getting letters, so.
Yeah. Okay, I like that. So then let's, really quick, I want to ask you, when did you start your Instagram and how long did it take you to grow where you're at right now? And how is that different from Instagram stories? Hey guys, what's up? It's Michael.
And it's Corey Pinniger from CallForce.
And in CallForce comments, we will be answering questions that you have asked in the comments. So let's get into it. All right, Corey, so what's a good script when doing recalls?
Awesome. So we've done this for over 10 years now. So we've been able to refine what we see as most effective. And it goes, this is your name calling from the dental office. How are you doing today? The doctor actually asked me to reach out because he or she noticed that you're overdue for your professional hygiene cleaning. And I was wondering if I could get you scheduled for that. I have 3 times available today, and those 3 times that you present, one is in the morning, one is around lunchtime, and one is in the later afternoon. Which one of these work best for you?
Gotcha. And then you just wait for them to reply. Now, what if you are not available that day, or what if they're not available that day?
Yeah, and obviously, you can, those 3 times that you have available can be tomorrow, one the next day. But what we've noticed is that having one time morning, one time lunch, and one time in the afternoon makes it, or puts the patient in a position where, well, one of these is going to work for you. It just depends. And so those can be spread out through a week, but presenting that morning, lunch, and late afternoon in a yes, yes, or yes situation is the most effective, because you're not giving them the option to say yes or no.
Got you. And then it would be best to make these like availabilities within, like, let's just say, okay, next week, or within like 24, 48, 72 hours?
Obviously 72 hours, but I would say if you play the game of within the next week, you're going to have the highest show rates as well.
Next week?
Yeah, within the next 7 days.
Oh, okay. Oh, so for example, like if I'm available within the next 7 days, you give them that option, right? On the next 7 days. But you give them one day though, right? Like, hey, morning, afternoon, evening.
Oh,
right?
No, I probably misstated that. But yeah, you can spread these 3 times over the next 7 days. So it doesn't have to be all the same day, but make sure that it's within 7 days and that you have a morning, lunch, and evening time available.
Awesome. Okay. I like that. I truly, truly like that. All right. So, and CallForce does this, right?
Yes, sir. I mean, that's how we figured it out. We've scheduled hundreds of thousands of appointments, and if people want to learn more, they can look in the bottom of the show notes, and we actually have a deal available with you guys right now.
Yeah, awesome. So guys, don't forget, CallForce can do your recalls for you. So on the next episode, we're going to be talking about, when are you missing calls? How can you figure this out? All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.
All right, so I started my Instagram in 2016 when I was graduating my prosto residency. Mm-hmm. And I did that because I like my cases and I was just trying to share them. And apparently there were not too many dentists back then because I just got like a huge following right away.
Yeah.
Because it was I think the content was pretty unique. There was not as many dentists as there are now.
Yeah.
And my Instagram just took a backseat for a while I was trying to find work. I was, you know, trying to establish, like, I was trying to make a living because I was, you know, my daughter was going to be born and I really needed, like, a stable paycheck to mm-hmm. start paying my loans and live. So I really took a backseat. And I would just say maybe since last September, I've been more steady with it, or since last August or July or something, I've been more steady with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was actually getting burnt out. And I feel like a lot of people on Instagram can sympathize with me about it. You spend a lot of time posting and writing something, and then you put it out there, and you're like, people are going to love this, and then you hear nothing.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, nobody cares about me.
Yeah, for real.
And so I feel like I was there for a little while, and I was like, man, it's really not like having ROI for me. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that totally changed. I went to a conference, the Dental Influencers Alliance conference, DIA
mm-hmm.
conference, last year in, or it might have been this year, I don't know, in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there, so many people came up to me and they were like, hey, how's your daughter doing? Like, total strangers, right?
Yeah.
How's your daughter? Like, you know, how's your practice? I've been watching your stuff. Or the craziest ones is like the craziest experience is like, we've been following you ever since you posted your YouTube videos. Because I actually started with YouTube first, and that was like when I was living in Michigan, my residencies.
Yeah.
I was like, man, these guys have been following me for like 3+ years. And I felt like nobody was really listening, but in reality, they were.
Yeah.
So that super recharged my batteries on it, and now I'm like really hardcore into it.
So what are you doing strategically to make it grow?
sorry, I had a frog in my throat.
Nice.
I feel like you have to be really strategic with it, really, really strategic. Before, and this is probably what most people do, before I would just kind of like go through my day, take a picture, post it at the end of the day or something at my mm-hmm. convenience, right? Or like make a video clip and then post it. Now, I've kind of like a funnel for my content.
Mm-hmm.
So I've hired a videographer. So that's I guess step one.
Mm-hmm.
I hired a videographer that's in my practice when I'm working. He's recording and editing. But now what I've done to, I guess, systematize it is I make one big piece of content or like a couple big pieces of content.
Mm-hmm.
And then I chop that up into like 5 or 6 small pieces of content. Right?
Okay, gotcha.
And so like I have a system for it. So for example, I might have a whole video that I post on YouTube, but that same video, I'm chopping it up into 15 seconds and posting it in stories along with like, you know, interesting things in the stories.
Gotcha.
I'm also, I guess, not just strictly to Instagram, but I'm also having like a systematized approach to creating content for all the outlets. Like, I would say I take a lot of pictures throughout my day,
mm-hmm.
so I make sure at the end of the day I'll tell my assistant, hey, put these together, and then I have I call her like, you know, customer happiness specialty or like member happiness. So she'll arrange them into an ebook, the ebook I was telling you about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
She'll arrange them into an ebook, put it on our site for free, and so that's like a weekly thing that I do for all my followers too. I'll give them this free weekly ebook. So I'm just really systematic with my team about, we're taking all these videos and all these pictures, really need to turn them into as much useful stuff as possible and distribute them like everywhere. And well, like not be spammy about it, of course, like post them to the, you know, the appropriate you know, outlet.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, that's interesting, man. I like that a lot. Your customer happiness specialty, what's her specific role? Like, what does she do?
She's like the nicest person ever. She's so freaking nice.
Yeah.
And because she's so nice, I decided that she's going to be in charge of just customer user experience, member experience. So, like, for example, I have a I'm doing a implant course next weekend. So, like, a hands-on course. Mm-hmm. I don't do very many of those, but I want the people that come to them to feel like, oh my gosh, this is like amazing. They love me, mm-hmm. right? So I have her like through the entire thing, and like help me come up with ways to surprise the people who are coming. So like we sent them like a welcome kit like a few weeks ago mm-hmm. that included like it's like fun little things. She bought like a ninja mask for them. So like they got a ninja mask in the mail. They got like a bunch of she went to the venue where we're gonna have it and like did a walkthrough like what things to put where to like, you know, add to the experience.
Yeah.
So she's just like the contact person for like making our members happy.
Got you. Awesome, man. How do you think like a dentist can use Instagram for their advantage? Like a general dentist, right? For example, if they did this strategy that you said, like, cause it'd be a lot of, like you said, you get burnt out, right? So, cause for example, I see some dentists, we've all seen the dentist who's like, hey, they make an Instagram like yesterday and then they post today, like free whitening for life, come on in. And then they say like, oh snap, nobody's following or nobody came in. It's like, what'd you expect, right? Like, come on.
Yeah.
So like, what advice do you have for them?
I would say it's still totally relevant. Really, really relevant. I would say, So for me, I'm more like B2C, right? Or sorry, B2B. Mm-hmm. They would be more B2C, so like business to consumer to their patients. So I would, whereas I'm like recording my surgery and putting pictures of surgery, mm-hmm. they definitely wouldn't want to do that. I would say like if you're doing veneers, show a lot of your cases, so your cases, and to the point where you might even want to offer discounts or do some veneers for free, not to an Instagram audience. I'm just saying like find some people that want to get free veneers done. Take pictures, take video of the process, post that video on YouTube, and then trim down that video, post it on Instagram, and in pictures, of course.
Yeah.
And so then when they go to your page, they'll see like, man, this guy's doing some legit veneers. But not only that, but I would maybe even have your laboratory, like go to your dental lab. Like, cause if you're just starting out as a dentist, you have time, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like you're like gonna have a ton of patients. So I would go to your dental laboratory and then story the process of them making the veneer. So like story it, put it on your Facebook, save it, add it to that YouTube video that you posted too.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, I would say just be niche down. Like since we're talking about veneers, you can just like focus on veneers or like lumineers or whatever.
Yeah.
And like not even mention that you have like sales going on. Cause when people see that you have a sale going on or something, I think they dismiss your content. Like the content's gotta be like worth something mm-hmm. by itself.
Yeah.
Not like because you get a deal or something. I don't think that's the right way to use social media. If you're going to sell something, maybe like, you know, maybe like once every 2 months or something.
Yeah. So maybe social media is like obviously used to socialize, but at the same time, it's kind of like letting them aware. So where does the call to action come in for all this? For example, like let's just say you're doing all of this, right? The veneers and everything like that. You're showing them through the stories. You even made like a case. Maybe let's just say you're starting out and you do it on your friend or your wife or husband or whatever, right? Veneers. And then you record it, you put it out, but then it's kind of like, okay, I'm making noise because followers are great, right? But what's even greater is when people walk into your practice. So then where's the conversion point in here? Or the call to action?
I think you know, I haven't done this for patients, right? But mm-hmm. I'm just imagining how it would be. Just based off of my experience with Instagram, I would say that you don't make the explicit call to action like more than like once every 2 months. So mm-hmm. like I would say that the purpose of Instagram is to get you link clicks, right? Or like, you know, get phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a way. I would say that the purpose is just for visibility, for people mm-hmm. to see what you're actually doing and that you're actually good at doing veneers. And then when they see it, to have you top of mind. I think that's pretty much in my eyes what Instagram is about, just having you top of mind and having trust so that whenever the person's ready, they're going to go to you. So So they're not going to go to you because you said, oh, this month only. You know, that's not why. I think they're going to go to you because you've been top of mind and you have trust. And when they're ready, you know, which might coincide with your one time every month call to action in mm-hmm. your stories, they might correspond with that. And then they'll swipe up and claim yeah. the thing.
Yeah.
Not if it's more often than that.
Yeah. And if not, I mean, there's still...
Just my opinion. I'm not an expert.
No. Yeah, yeah. But I was even thinking, like, even if not, like, let's just say you're not having any type of, like, sale, right? Because the call to action doesn't have to be a sale. Let's just say you're not having a sale. They'll still have you on top of mind because they're like, hey, I need veneers. Yep. Let me go. I get it, man. I like that. So really yep. quick, can you
That's
tell
exactly
us...
That's exactly what I'm doing with my Instagram.
Okay. Got you. Can you tell us what is... like, what are you doing with Implant Ninja and all about that?
So my goal, or I guess where I see education, is that dental education is so expensive, right? Mm-hmm. So expensive that when you come out of dental school, I would imagine that you're not ready to spend $5,000 on a case, on a course, weekend course right away. At least that's the time I was at. I didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you want something convenient, something that's like relatable, something that's not like textbook dry. And so what I'm making is a series of online courses that basically that don't suck, mm-hmm. right? That they, you're not buying a set of videos. Nobody wants that. You know, I've seen several online courses that are just like you pay $1,000 and you have access to like, you know, 10 videos. I think
yeah,
that's,
yeah. yeah.
And maybe like one download or something. yeah. So my goal is for somebody is basically to add a human element to online courses.
Mm-hmm.
So our members feel like we're there, right? We're they're taking our course through the videos. They have a ton of downloads. They see me a couple times live throughout the session. So that's my goal. You know, I launched it last September and we're working up to that. And the people who I've talked to so far, I mean, I think there's been like 130 people take our course, and I've heard nothing but like, it's like, wow, this course really over delivers and all this stuff. So that's my goal, to create courses like that, that feel like, you know, they're really worth taking, or that are even better than like a hands-on course. Because like a hands-on course, you go to it, you forget what you learned, right?
Hmm.
So this is like something that you can constantly refer back to, like, in perpetuity. Like, it's on your phone, you could look at it in between patients. If you get a patient cancellation, you do some more learning on your phone or on the computer. So that's my goal, to make online courses around dental implants and products that don't suck, that are just like amazing to take and that people can refer back to.
Got you. So is it just one course or more than one?
Yeah, so it started off with just an implant surgery course, so a basic implant surgery course.
Mm-hmm.
I have my next course coming out. It's an all-on-4 course, so that's coming out October 4th. And we're actually going to be releasing some digital courses, too, because people have been asking about that. They want to know the digital workflow for all-on-4. And, yeah, there's a couple other ones that we're working on, but those are the main ones for now. I'm not trying to, like, put out a bunch of stuff. I'm just trying to make sure that everything that we do is like super high quality.
Yeah, I get you. That's exactly what I'm doing with what we're doing with the ground marketing course. We don't really want to, you know, continue to make more marketing courses. We just want to like have it on steroids pretty much and continue to grow.
That's the thing. That's the only way. I mean, you got to be differentiated these days, right? Because like now I see everybody and their mom has got an online course now.
Yeah.
And so you have to stand out.
Dude, I'm so happy you said that, because like I feel like people listening are gonna be like, oh, another guy with another course, but then like you acknowledge it, you know what I mean? You're like, everybody has a freaking course. So not only do you gotta be different, but you have to deliver, man. You know what I mean? It can't be like, oh, I'm gonna launch a course and then be like, okay, I made that chunk of money, next, right? And then do another course. You gotta kind of like stick
right.
with it and grow, like help your students grow. So if you don't mind me asking,
yeah.
how much is the one that the 130 people took? How much was that course?
That's $795.
Oh wow,
$795, really? And I'm trying to like eliminate So you can probably tell I'm really heavy into customer service. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to eliminate any kind of like barrier by just saying, hey, if you don't like it, I'll just refund you. Right? Like I probably sold like 1,500 different things through Implant Ninja as of right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only had one request for a refund. Even though I say I can refund, you know, you for free, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't like it, I'll refund everything. And so I've only had one request for a refund because I feel like most people are just honest people. And I think that's a super good policy to have. Just if anybody doesn't like it, you can just refund them fully.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I forgot what your question was, but I just wanted to point that out.
No, that's good. I was wondering how much it was. For that, and then okay, man, awesome. So where can they? And oh wait, really quick, you do have something for our audience, right? Like something that they can use?
Yes, yes. So I try to deliver as much free stuff as possible. So every week I'm making these little like mini ebooks. So it's like a basically like a one sheet. It's like a really long one sheet that you can download to your phone. You can scroll through and like see step by step how to do different dental implant procedures. There's a few up on my site now. So if you want to download that, I'm going to give Michael the download link. So it'll be like wherever he posts the podcast.
Yeah.
And if you haven't checked out my YouTube channel, I do record my procedures and I kind of like narrate them. So I talk through what I'm doing. So if you are interested in implant stuff, it'd be cool to check that out.
Awesome, man. Yeah, guys, and all that will be in the show notes below, so make sure you go in the show notes below, check it out. Definitely look more into this. I mean, to be honest, I wish, like, we could have took, like, a whole another hour, which we probably will in the future, talking about your no startup loan process, because that, like, to nowadays? I don't know. Nowadays, it's kind of, like, unheard of. So, like, for you to do that, but it's so unconventional, like, it's kind of like, why didn't I think of that? You know what I mean? Like, oh, man, why didn't I think of doing a startup like that? It's just not easy, but it's more like it makes that much sense. But I guess it's patience, you know what I mean?
I would totally recommend $100 Startup, the book, The $100 Startup.
Yeah.
That was kind of like, that's my mentality for almost everything. But, I mean, I think $100 Startup is great when you're starting because you got to find out if it's what you want. Right. And now that I kind of got my business rolling and I have like a steady production, I see that I like it, but my real passion is my online education.
Mm-hmm.
So now I've already kind of $100 startup that, but now it's time to really grow and scale. And so now I am actually throwing some money at it and really trying hard to have good branding and all that stuff. And so now I'm spending a little bit more, but it's because I've already tested it out. And if I would have thrown a lot of money at the beginning, then I very well could have gone out of business or, like, you know, be overextended.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So then really quick, Ivan, can you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Sure. Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at implant_ninja. You can find me on YouTube, Implant Ninja, and my website, implantninja.com.
Awesome. All right, Evan. I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for being with us. It won't be the last time. It was a pleasure. And we'll hear from you soon. What's up, guys? Thank you so much for tuning in into the Dental Marketer Podcast. Thank you for listening to that episode. And thank you, Ivan, for being a part of the Dental Marketer Podcast, too, as well. So, guys, go in the show notes below. Check out some of the links. Check out the Dental Ninja Dental Implant courses. I also put links to some of the books that he mentions. Like, you know how he mentions The $100 Startup and New Rules of Marketing? Go check out those books. I put a link to that in the show notes below. It was such a great episode. I mean, I want to kind of talk about it a little bit in the sense of what I kind of learned, right? So something that sparked interest to me that he mentioned was quality work and personal touch, right? And I feel like we need to start doing that in every single aspect of everything, right? So not just dentistry, but also with what I do, with what everybody does, right? Put quality work first and personal touch. That's what makes the brand, right? So start doing that, guys. I also like how he mentions expecting results fast always hurts. So if we kind of like, for example, if you hear of a marketing company that says, hey, we're going to get you 800 leads in a month, and you'll get at least 100 new patients. If that sounds like fast results, it's probably going to hurt you, and it's probably too good to be true, right? So what did he recommend? Ivan recommended to pick one procedure you really want to focus on. So let's just say we pick implants, right? And let's write about it organically on our website. Let's write about it on social media. Let's write letters to our other like colleagues or people in the community, right? Letting them know, like, hey, look, we're new in town, or we've been here, right? Or we're doing this for you guys. Here's a picture of my staff and me, or my family and me. Try and make it more personal. So I'd say like my dog and me, or my family and me, right? And then say something you're going to do that week, like Dr. Ivan does. And then continue with basically what you want to say, and that you're happy to accept more referrals or new patients or whatever, right? And this can be done with like surgeons, pediatric offices, any other type of medical location. And guys, if you want to learn how to get into medical locations, right, any single medical location in your community and get new patients from there, the ground marketing course teaches you that. So in case you don't know what that is, or you do know what it is, go check it out. Go check out the ground marketing course if you haven't yet already. So yeah, such a great episode that Ivan gave us right now, because I also like the fact that he didn't do a startup loan, and I think that was as surprising as to me as maybe a lot of you guys listening. He didn't have a startup loan, which is like, is that even heard of nowadays? Because I mean, I feel like we all kind of, that's the norm, getting a little bit more in depth or doing a startup loan, right? And so I like how he did it. He hired an assistant later on that was part of the practice, and then he continued to grow it from there. From day one, he started paying himself, which is awesome, right? Because a lot of the times we think, when are we going to pay ourselves? When are we going to break even? Is this ever going to happen, right? So he started doing that. So yeah, guys, and his best ROI was letters, which I thought was really, really impressive. So guys, go in the show notes below, check out his stuff. Also, check out the books. Check out the books that he recommends, which was New Rules of Marketing and the $100 Startup. And if you guys have any questions or concerns, let me know. Also, go follow him on Instagram. He has over 14,000 followers on there. So go check out, see what he's doing. Although his followers are dentists, right? But the concept of getting more followers and getting more traction is still there, right? So go check out what he's doing. Go follow him. And then at the same time, guys, don't forget, if you are interested in getting free stuff, getting more ground marketing tactics, strategies, and procedures, scripts, and things like that, and if you want no fluff, right? If you want it straight up to you, like where I tell you, hey, you need to do this. This is how you got to do it. This is what you're going to do next. Boom, boom, boom. Then go join the email list, right? And go in the show notes below, click on join my email list. And then at the same time, you also will get deals from our sponsors just for the email list and more resources, right? And you also get updates on like when these episodes come out and stuff like that too, guys. So I'm not going to spam you, so don't worry. If you are interested, just go in the show notes below and click on join my email list. Alrighty guys, thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll talk to you in the next episode.